Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, April 16th. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the show, we talk cookies with two bakers who emerged during the COVID-19 pandemic and began a business of oversized, overstuffed, delicious cookies, Cookie Therapy, ALB. Ashley Brown and Faye Jones will be on the line to answer your baking questions. So turn your radio up because it's likely to be sweet. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. If you have a question, 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Cookies, cookies, cookies. Ashley and Faye, and your call's coming up right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and on the line today, two bakers, two entrepreneurs, after they lost their jobs when COVID-19 hit, Ashley Brown and Faye Jones channeled their creativity and love of baking into a new business selling mega-stuffed 6-ounce cookies on Instagram. Today, their company, Cookie Therapy ALB, has almost 14,000 followers and is baking and selling more than 10,000 cookies a week. If you have a question about baking cookies or their unique recipes, and they are unique, give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Ashley Brown and Faye Jones, welcome back to Food Friday.
Hi, how are you?
Well, it's great to have you both here. You were here last summer, and things were really rolling for your company then, and things are still rolling now. But let's not talk about food for a minute. I understand there's many more important things than food. And Faye, I hear you're about to have a baby.
I am ready to pop.
Wow.
Any time now. So yeah, it was an eventful year.
literally any time, like during the show.
If I just hang up, you know why.
No. Yes. The water has broken if that happens, and we'll just carry on. That's okay. Will you be scaling things back a little bit when the new baby arrives?
We will. We actually just put up on our social media this week that we are going to go kind of back to our roots a little bit and no longer do scheduled drops. They're going to be more spontaneous to kind of fit into, you know, our new schedule. You know, I'm going out and having the baby. Ashley has a photography business that she's had for years that is, you know, kind of really coming back with a vengeance now that people can leave their houses. And we are, you know, we're going to go back to, like I said, our spontaneous roots. So you'll have to subscribe to get our cookies now.
Well, that's, you know, Faye, you know, is this your first baby?
It is not. It's my second, but my first is 8 years old, so it might as well be my first because I forgot everything.
Oh, really? Because I remember just about everything about ours. And, you know, you may have those days where you don't really want to do many baking projects. You may be a little tired.
I'm hoping that, you know, I'm not too tired, but probably.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess Ashley can handle it by herself if need be, right, Ashley?
Oh, yeah. Ashley's got it in the bag.
Yeah. Luckily, we have a lot of good help, you know, with our team at Cookie Therapy, because I'm, you know, not tied up with a new baby, but tied up with my first baby, which was my other business. So it's been a busy year, but we're looking forward to, I guess, seeing what the next half of this year brings.
You know, your story is so interesting, and we'll recap it a little bit. We talked about this last summer when you were on. But basically, this project of yours was born of an international pandemic. I'll throw this to you, Ashley. Are you at all surprised at just how successful it's been?
Oh, absolutely. I was just getting my hair cut today, and the girl who was washing my hair said, how did you fall into that business? And I said, honestly, I have no idea. It was a total fluke thing. And I think Faye would say the same. And, you know, what we did as a way to pass the time and earn a little extra income during the pandemic really became something beyond our wildest dreams in a year's time. So, absolutely surprised at what it's become.
You know, I've heard it expressed that it means a lot to you to be a mom-owned business. Why do you feel that's important for young women and just people to see moms managing a career, having a family?
Go ahead, Faye.
I think we both kind of feel very strongly about this. You know, we really hate the term like mompreneur and stuff, but it really kind of speaks to, you know, being a mom is a full-time job in itself. And Ashley and I are both hyper-focused on showing our girls that you do not need to compromise your career or your ambitions or your dreams in order to be a mom. And I think that's really, really important to both of us. And Ashley, do you want to kind of give your input on that? Because I know you feel really strongly about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I have two girls myself, and for sure, people ask us very often, you know, how we find the time to juggle, you know, everything we do and the work-life balance, and we believe that work-life balance really doesn't exist, and instead we try to spin it as, you know, our kids see us do things like this. They see us go on conference calls. They see us brainstorming and doing all the things that are required, you know, to be successful in business. And hopefully that, you know, is something that they always carry with them. And all three of our daughters want to be entrepreneurs of some sort. So hopefully, you know, the times that they see their moms hard at work, you know, is a positive thing for them. And we really believe that to be true.
We're talking today to Ashley Brown and Faye Jones of Cookie Therapy ALB. If you have a question about baking or this remarkable business they've created, give us a call at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org, and we will be getting to your emails and questions on the phone momentarily. But, I mean, for my own edification, this thing, you had lost work, let's say, at the beginning of the pandemic, and you said, oh, yeah, we love cookies, so let's start this thing. You really have to have a serious passion to do what you do. I've been to your website, and we'll talk about some of the recipes in a minute, but, I mean, it's kind of a crazy idea, right? I mean, did you... 6-ounce cookies that are just stuffed with amazing things. Who came up with that one?
Ash, you want to take this?
So honestly, we still are confused about really how, again, we came into this a year later. I had seen it on Instagram, and I remember it was another company somewhere else in the country, and I remember saying, oh, this looks really cool. Like, would love to do this. Should I do this? Or maybe should I do like a meal prepping business during the pandemic, like healthy meals? So clearly we went in the opposite direction and we decided to do cookies.
Yeah.
But they, you know, Faye and I just both really enjoy baking, and you know, it's something that we saw online. We decided to give it a shot. And we wanted to give the people what they wanted, which is when they saw it on our Instagram, they really felt that they needed to try a cookie stuffed with a ring ding or a donut as well.
Oh.
And kind of took it from there.
Just the description is just killing me. I wish you guys were here right now with a lot of cookies. You don't do much of the baking anymore, though, right? This business is too huge for you to be doing that, right, Faye?
No, yeah, we do not bake actually any longer. We have a wonderful team that does that for us. We have two head chefs that are quite seasoned, and you know, we do the recipes and we're in there with them, kind of, you know, testing. Anytime we introduce a new cookie, you know, Ashley and I have our hands in the dough bowl, you know, just making sure that it's perfect. And then our team, we just trust them to you know, bring it to life. And they do. They knock it out of the park.
It's really great stuff. And the website is entertaining without even eating. It's pretty good stuff. Ashley Brown and Faye Jones join us. We will get to your calls in a moment. It's a Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And frankly, if it's only Ashley when we come back, that means the blessed event has happened. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that Faye is with us for another 40 minutes. We'll be back. Vox Pop, it's Food Friday. Ray Graff here at 800-348-2551. Ashley Brown and Faye Jones from Cookie Therapy ALB join us on this Food Friday. And if you have a question, give us a shout. 800-348-2551 is the number. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Faye, do you have the baby yet?
Not yet. I'm still here.
All right, let's go, let's go to the phones then. Jay in Clifton Park. Jay, you're on.
What's going on, guys? It's Jay Travis from Cookin' Park. I have a baking question for you guys.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi. So I do I have a biscuit recipe that I do all the time. It's a flaky laminated biscuit and with all-purpose flour, but I'm always kind of messing around with it. And the last time I made it, I portioned in about 10% potato starch with the flour, and it got me this really nice, tender bite to the biscuit. So I thought, hey, I'm onto something. And subsequently, the following Sunday, I tried the same trick with my focaccia. Disastrous. It just went flat, which makes me think that subbing in a little bit of finer starch might, like, retard gluten development. So I wonder if there's some way I might be onto something and apply it to cookies, where adding in a little bit of a finer starch might affect the spread or the bite of a cookie. Because I don't do a lot of sweets, and I know you guys are the experts. So what do you got?
Oh, for sure it's going to affect it. Do we know the exact how or ratio? No. But I can tell you, in the last year, with all the different kind of experimental flavors that we've done and ingredients that we've done, we've definitely had lighter starches that we've used, and it has not always turned out the way that we've wanted it. So I think it's more of an experimental thing. I think you're going to have to kind of play around with the ratio to the all-purpose flour and even the ratio of adding in cake flour with that, because it may turn out better that way.
No,
that's
I have to make more pizzas, that's not the end of the world.
Exactly. Yeah. You're definitely, we have found that when playing with gluten and certain ingredients, you know, we've had some trouble where we didn't expect it. So, yeah.
All right, Jay, thanks a lot for the call. Ashley Brown and Faye Jones join us on the program today. From Cookie Therapy ALB, the number is 800-348-2551. Ashley, you were just kidding about the cookie stuff for the ring thing, right? There's no such thing, right?
Oh, in fact, that was the first stuffed cookie I ever made, because my dad is a huge ring ding fan, and that was the inaugural cookie. So it's a real thing.
Are they still on your website? Can you order those?
We had those not too long ago. We've had them a couple times. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I think we had them. So,
Okay. Yeah,
it's one that's definitely in the rotation. So it will be back.
All right. So is there any way you can email the program and let me know exactly when they're back in the rotation?
Because absolutely.
I'll be ordering a baker's dozen.
We will send you a box. Yes.
Oh, God. All right. Let's go back here to the phones. Marianne in Amsterdam. Marianne, you're on.
Hi. You know, if you have a great cookie recipe and you want to make a lot more than just what the recipe says, do you think it's just a matter of doubling, quadrupling your ingredients? Or as you're mixing, do you start to see that you've got to change the basics of the recipe?
Ooh, so we actually know this one firsthand. And this kind of goes back to what I had told the gentleman who just called in. This is very much an experimental thing. So we thought it would be as easy as taking our 6-cookie recipe and turning, you know, multiplying that by 10 times to get to 60 cookies. And it was not, our cookies were not coming out right. So basically, we had to step back our flour significantly. And we, you know, really, once we did that, the cookies came out fine. But I think once you start adding in things like cocoa or other, you know, similar types of, you know, like flour type agents, you really have to start playing around, because it took us quite a few tries to get, you know, the cocoa to flour ratio correct on those larger batches, or even, you know, some of our mix-ins correct on the larger batches.
Oh, good, because I was wondering, because it just seemed like, wow, I can do this great when I'm just making, you know, a double batch. But when I started to make it in quantity for a party, it was like, wow, these cookies are not the same, you know. And that's the answer to the question. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Marianne, thanks for the call. Faye Jones and Ashley Brown join us today on Food Friday from Cookie Therapy ALB. 800-348-2551. If you have a baking question, 800-348-2551. We have a few emails here, so we'll run through those for a moment. This one is from Anna in Goshen, Massachusetts, and the subject heading is cookie texture. Anna writes, I like cookies with crisp edges and chewy middle. Have found detailed recipes analyzing ingredients and how to achieve that texture, but all have a lot of sugar. Any suggestion on how to decrease the sugar, even a bit, while maintaining texture? I will not use artificial sweeteners. And that's from Anna in Goshen.
Oh, so that's a tough one. Yeah. We have a lot of people that have questions because, you know, people want to be a little bit more health conscious. And, you know, we've always felt that sugar is a really important piece to the big cookie puzzle, and it is hard to really sub out with anything else. I know there's lots of different options online, but we've always kind of stuck with it, you know, as such. So I don't know, Faye, do you have, my answer would be, unfortunately, I think, you know, unless you're looking to really make a healthy cookie recipe, the sugar is an important proponent to the texture and the finished product with the cookie. But do you have any other thoughts on that?
My thought is the same. You cannot replace sugar in a good cookie recipe, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You're never going to get that.
We use a lot of brown sugar in ours.
Uda, why brown sugar, Ashley?
The brown sugar definitely gives it that richness and that chewiness. We prefer dark brown sugar too, just for more of that molasses type quantity, so, or quality. So, yeah, I mean, really, again, we've had lots of people that have emailed saying, is there any way to make these a little bit more, you know, calorie friendly? And really, you can, but then you're verging into the healthy cookie territory, which is just a totally different animal.
Yeah.
So if you want to really have that chewy but crisp cookie, you know, your flour, your butter, your sugar, that's what's really going to create that finished product.
I mean, I gained 4 pounds looking at your website. I got to be honest with you before the show. I'm not sure the low-cal cookies are a good idea. This email is from Maria in the Berkshires. Maria writes, first of all, congrats to Faye on the pregnancy. And second, she writes, my brothers and their kids live in California, and I want to mail them some lovingly homemade cookies. What is the best way to package them so that they arrive fresh and soft?
Oh, I have a good thought on this.
Okay, go ahead.
So as far as, you know, fresh and soft, you know, we believe that cookies should, you know, always be shipped the quickest way possible. So we always use express shipping for our cookies, especially right now, because, you know, regular shipping means tend to be a little slower.
Yeah.
So definitely it's worth spending the extra couple bucks, send them express. We send everything FedEx 2-day express. They'll get to California in 2 days. They'll be good as new. But my favorite way to package cookies, unless they're really huge, sturdy cookies like ours, is to package two together with the bases together. So like they're kind of back to back, and then wrapping them in, you know, saran wrap or foil, and then putting them in a plastic bag. If you put them back to back like that, it gives them a lot more sturdiness. So they're less likely to arrive, you know, crumbled up.
Now, would you put a piece of wax paper in between the two?
You can, yeah. You certainly can do that, or just make sure that they're fully cooled so that they don't. Typically, as long as they're fully cooled, they should be fine. But, you know, otherwise, unless you have all sorts of different, you know, packaging materials at home, you know, just putting them back to back, wrapping them in foil or saran wrap, and then putting them in a, you know, a sealed Ziploc bag, and then lots of, you know, paper or whatever around it to keep them protected, you know, is always your best bet.
Ashley Brown and Faye Jones join us today on Food Friday. Cookies today from Cookie Therapy ALB. The number is 800-348-2551. By the way, Maria in the Berkshires had a second question, and I'm not sure you can answer this without giving proprietary information away. She wants a recipe recommendation.
Actually, funny you say that. So since we last chatted, we did release a kind of like a at-home baking kit.
Yeah.
And that does include the coveted recipe for our Lulu cookie.
Ooh.
Yes. So we do hope to, you know, restock that during our spontaneous drops. So if she'd like access to that, she's just got to sign up for our mailing list, and then she can get that proprietary information with some ingredients.
How do people sign up for that mailing list?
So you're going to go right to our website, and there's a link to sign up for that.
And that's cookietherapyalb.com?
Yes, it is.
Okay, this email from, we did that one. That was Anna wrote twice from Goshen. This one is from Marie. Marie says, could you speak to using avocados as a substitute in baking? Also, what about egg substitutes? And that's from Marie.
Oh, your listeners are very healthy people, and we commend them for that.
Not all of them.
Avocado is great. I've used it in chocolate pudding before. I've never used it in cookies. You know, obviously it has a high fat content, so I'm sure there's some merit in that. Egg substitute also, you know, I know that there are lots of things that exist. I know a lot of people use a flax egg, applesauce, like all different stuff like that. For us personally, we've never really played around with it too much because our cookies have kind of been the, you know, if you're going to cheat on your diet, if you're looking for something really good, you know, people make their substitutes at home and then come for us for the real deal. So we haven't played around with it too much ourselves, but I know that, you know, there are lots of those options out there, especially for people who are looking for, you know, a vegan cookie.
Ashley Brown and Faye Jones join us. Last email here, and the number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. But last email for a while, and this is from regular correspondent Joe. Joe says, I know I'm going out on a limb here, but with the legalization of marijuana, I'm thinking of incorporating some of the devil's lettuce into my baking. My mother has great peanut butter cookie recipe, and I'd love to include this new ingredient to surprise my dad. What would be the best way to incorporate this new ingredient into my baking? Hungry and Hageman, that's Joe.
All right, I'm going to take this one.
All right.
And I'm not going to say that I have this understood, but I may have dabbled in this in the past.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You're going to put it in your butter, Joe. There's a million recipes online about the quantity that you would want to use, and you're going to cook it down into butter, and then you're basically going to, you know, put it through a very fine sieve, and all you're going to end up with is butter into molds, and you're going to measure it out that way. I will say with a warning, though, be very careful about how much you use, because it's the difference between a very sleepy cookie and a delicious cookie. So, yeah.
Well, it's really a strange world.
Maybe don't put them in big, huge cookies like ours, because
Small quantity.
The serving size would be a bit off on that.
Now that's something that you do not offer. I mean, that would be a federal offense to send it across state lines, right?
Yeah, it would be. We, you know, honestly, like I'm truly fascinated by the farm to table aspect of the legalization of marijuana. Yeah. And I'm hoping that someday, you know, it can get to that point. But as it stands now, no, we cannot.
Okay. All right.
We talked about CBD oil, though, in cookies, which we
all
may
right.
do.
I'm glad you brought up the CBD oil, because it comes up a lot. You just want to throw it in there for fun, or do you have any real actual reason for it?
No, I actually do. I bake with CBD quite often. As someone who, you know, I've had anxiety a good chunk of my life, and I will throw it into baked goods. I've also baked small versions of our cookies as dog cookies, and I've used pet safe CBD oil and made my dog little thunder cookies.
What does it do though?
Just is a calming, you know, it's got a very calming effect. It's an anti-inflammatory, and you know, I think there's a lot of really great benefits to it. I would put the disclaimer in there to not buy it at a gas station or something. I would really research where you get your CBD from, especially when using it for baking. So just a really, you want a really high quality vetted oil that you're going to put into that for both yourself and for pets.
I mean, does it have a taste? We had the Harney folks on, and they make a line of CBD infused drinks. And
yes,
they're very popular. But is there a basic flavor of CBD oil?
A little bit. You're going to get that hemp flavor for sure. It does dissipate for the most part in baking, though.
We are joined today by Faye Jones and Ashley Brown from Cookie Therapy ALB. Our number here is 800-348-2551. All right, let's talk about Cookie Therapy. I think you were last on in July or August, and you had a bunch of favorites, the fan favorites on your website. Any changes in customer attitudes since then? Anything that's new?
So on a lot of our, since we talked to you, we had our fall cookies and our holiday cookies. We had like a cider donut cookie and also a pumpkin cheesecake one, which were super popular over the fall. And then over the holidays, we had like an iced gingerbread. We had a cranberry, like nut cookie. And then we also had like a dark chocolate peppermint, and those were super popular, and we've been bringing those back consistently since fall and winter. So definitely introduced some new flavors, still a lot of the same standbys though. People are loving anything with peanut butter, anything with Oreo, anything with Nutella. People are all about it.
I mean, these are huge cookies. Do we ever have anybody pull a George Costanza and get a knife and fork out and just start eating them that way?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we recommend the serving size is a quarter because we calculated the nutrition facts for the full cookie, and it's aggressive. So we recommend a serving size of a quarter. But it is nice to cut them up, and a lot of people will do that and serve them for dessert at parties or dinners and things like that.
I like the way you phrase that. The nutrition the information is aggressive. Talk to us a little bit about this before the next break, the creative process. How do you get together? You had a fall line, and frankly, I'm assuming you put a full donut in these cookies, but we'll put that off to the side. How do you brainstorm these ideas and get together and do this?
We just love dessert, basically, and we are known to eat our feelings, and we just think of it. Like, we always joke that we text each other all day, every day, but like, we'll be texting each other at 1-2 in the morning, and we'll be like, let's stuff, I don't know, like a cherry cheesecake into it. And we just kind of go back and forth with the ideas and put them down on paper, and then we put our little test batch hat on and we go on like that.
Anybody else want to weigh in on that, or can I?
Yeah, you want?
No?
I will say, yeah. I think we get a lot of inspiration from, you know, different desserts. Anytime we're walking through the grocery store, I mean, Faye, you had seen in your grocery store travels the Fruit Loop Pop Tarts, and you know, sent me a picture of it on the grocery store shelf, saying this would be really good in a cookie. So we're kind of always we have our eyes peeled all the time to see what we think our customers would go crazy for.
Interesting. And I got to ask you, and I'll ask you after the break, about those things that didn't work. Now, you said those Fruit Loop Pop-Tarts, I bought them for my kids, and my kids will eat almost anything. They sat in the box. They were not popular. So I want to talk to you about the ideas that fail at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we'll do that after the break. Ashley Brown and Faye Jones join us from Cookie Therapy ALB. You got a cookie question, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Email voxpop@wamc.org. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's a Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number. Faye Jones and Ashley Brown are here from Cookie Therapy ALB. Any baby yet, Faye?
I'm still here. Okay. We're still holding on.
That's very good. Are your feet up? Are you avoiding the preeclampsia, keeping those feet raised?
Yeah, I'm in my car. You know, I had to get out of the house away from all the noise. So I'm ready to go. You know, if I go, I'm just going to drive myself.
All right. Well, then, just keep it hands-free and you can stay on the show.
Perfect.
We talked about your collaborative process. And I look on your website. You two, you know, I'm sure you're not doing it now that you're about to have a baby, but you two clearly like a pop of alcohol now and again. And I find that some of my worst ideas come after I've had a couple of pops of alcohol. Yeah, a windmill on the roof? Sure, a brilliant idea. No, but I mean, what ideas have you guys come up with that just, it didn't work? You tried it and it didn't work.
We had one that was so good in theory. It was like a movie theater, like a day at the movies style cookie with popcorn and candy and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, Netflix and chill. And all the pieces were really good on its own, but we found the popcorn, because it wasn't coated like a caramel corn or something like that, it pretty much like dissolved and got like this weird chewy texture. Yeah. And it was not good.
Now, did you bring that to a version 2.0 or did you just discard the idea altogether?
Nope.
Really?
No, we threw it out. We were like, we're done here. Yeah.
Well, we're done with popcorn.
For those who have never been to your website, tell us some of the things on that menu, and it's spectacular. So, Faye, why don't you run down a few, and then Ashley, you run down a few.
Well, we have, oh my gosh, where do you even start? We have like, you know, a regular cookies and cream that's just Oreos and frosting and white chocolate chips. We have our, you know, Pop-Tart version. So we have a strawberry Pop-Tart that we do that's incredibly popular. We do a brown sugar Pop-Tart, also incredibly popular. We did the Fruit Loop one, which I know your kids did not like it.
Well, no, they've never had your cookie. Itself. Yeah, they didn't like the Pop-Tart.
Well, the cookie was outstanding with
okay.
it in there.
I believe it.
You know, we have a lemon blueberry that is, you know, really, really good.
Mm.
You know, raspberry cheesecake, cherry cheesecake, pumpkin cheesecake.
Hold it.
Yeah.
Hold it. You're going to put a whole piece of cherry cheesecake in a cookie? I mean, I know your cookies are enormous. They're the size of small Frisbees. But how are you going to do that?
They are. So we have real New York style cheesecake, you know, graham cracker crust and all. And we cut it into, we say bite size, but I'm not sure we actually know what bite size means. and then we actually put that, you know, that cherry pie, you know, traditional topping filling directly in there so that when you bite into that cookie, you get, you know, a full bite of New York style cheesecake. We do not skimp on what we stuff inside these cookies.
Mm. Ashley, what's your favorite cookie?
No, we don't.
On the list.
So mine has always been our ice cream sundae cookie because I'm a big maraschino cherry fan, and it has that, chocolate, sprinkles, pieces of waffle cone. That one's one of my very favorites. But we did do a cherry almond chocolate cookie that had almond extract, those same cherries that I love, and chocolate chunks in it not too long ago, and that one was definitely one of my favorites. So those are great. I also love the pumpkin cheesecake one. That one, anything with cheesecake is my favorite. Faye and I have very different tastes. I like anything that's really chocolatey. She's like our white chocolate, fruity, like cereal kind of girl. So
yeah.
It's nice. I think between the two of us, we end up kind of hitting on everybody's different tastes.
Now, I know it's not on the menu at the moment. It was a fall thing, but I need to know more about and we'll get to the phones in a minute, I promise. 800-348-2551. Glenda, hang in there. You'll be next. But I need to know a little more about the cider donut cookie, which sounds genius.
Oh, so that one was another one of our, you know, I think like a late night idea. I think I texted Ashley and I said, how do we do this? It's funny though, because we thought about just kind of stuffing the donut in there, but we kind of took it further and we do. We actually make an apple cider cookie. So we use apple cider kind of reduction, and, you know, we've got our cinnamon and our sugar, and we really just load it up. So the cookie itself has a very, like, donut flavor to it. And then we stuff it with a local-made cider donut. And then we roll the whole thing in cinnamon sugar before it bakes. So you get that cider donut experience in every single bite. It is absolutely one of my favorite cookies that we do.
Wow. My aorta hurts just thinking about it. But it sounds amazing. This email came in from Karen. Karen says, "Hi, Ashley. I think you were in my second grade class at Latham Ridge. I'm so excited."
Oh, my gosh. Mrs. L.
Yes. That is in
That's
fact.
Amazing. That oh, is, my goodness.
She says, "I'm so excited to hear you're baking and doing well. I love baking. I'm baking cookies as I listen to you talking. I wish you all the best." That's your second grade teacher?
Oh, that's amazing. She was one of my all-time favorite teachers, and I remember her little gumdrop tree that we would get gumdrops from at the end of the day. And I'm glad to hear she's doing well. I think she's retired now and hopefully spending all of her time doing fun things like baking cookies.
Well, that is great. That is, you know what? It's fun to hear. It's like, this is your life. Glenda in Lee, yes. Massachusetts. Glenda, you're on.
Yes, hi. I was told by my doctor I need to cut down on salt. So when I make cookies, is there anything that I can bake that has very low sodium, no salt? Sodium bicarbonate is not a good thing also. Can you help me?
Ooh, with cookies, it's kind of tough because the salt content, you know, really helps as a leavening agent, obviously, with the sodium bicarbonate as well. But there are a lot of really great brownie recipes. I don't know if you like brownies, but there's a lot of really great brownie recipes that you can completely omit all of those ingredients, actually. So but cookies, I'm really, again, that's a touch out of my wheelhouse because you need that leavening agent. Ashley, you have any input on that one?
Yeah, I would think the same. Plus, the salt is such a critical component to cutting some of that sweetness and making it, you know, it just is really rounds out the recipe there. So yeah, I would say for sure anything that you could avoid baking soda with, you know, would definitely be good. I think brownies would be a great place to start.
Well, my favorite is Toll House cookies.
No, me too.
You know what? I'm wondering if you can, you know, go on something like Pinterest and look up one of their more like the edible cookie dough type options, because I know a lot of those omit or have a lot less salt in them.
And they probably don't have baking soda. Yeah,
and they would probably still bake to a decent texture, so you could at least enjoy a little bit of that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Glenda.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. If you have a question for Faye Jones at Ashley Brown of Cookie Therapy ALB, 800-348-2551. We mentioned in the introduction that you have maybe 14,000 followers and you crank out 10,000 cookies a week. Tell me about the logistics of that. And I know we spoke about that during the pandemic, but I think that your business has actually grown in the last 7-8 months. How do you do it?
Yeah, Faye can really speak on this one because she was at the helm of a big project we recently did, which kind of blew our previous numbers out of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I said, we do have a really great team, and they manage, you know, the volume quite well. But in the last few months, we actually did 60,000 cookies in a 2-week span.
Wow.
All delivered on the same day for FedEx. And we really have gotten into that corporate market.
Yeah.
So much so that's also playing a part into our reduced, you know, consumer drops. Because, you know, the volume just really isn't, it's not going to be manageable, you know, with those corporate things in addition to consumer. So we just have kind of put our focus a little bit more there. And yeah, I mean, like I said, though, we do have quite a large facility and some really great partners. So that has made our volume growth a little bit easier to manage.
clearly a cash cow here, right, Ashley? But how do you keep, and I've asked this with many chefs and restaurateurs on this program who have expanded and expanded and expanded, how do you keep mm-hmm. the quality level? If you're throwing 60,000 cookies at FedEx, how do you keep that quality level the same? When you started, it was magical. The website is still magical. How do you keep the magic?
So I think what really helps us, you know, compared to a lot of other bakers and restaurateurs, is we really have one product. And cookies, comparatively to a lot of other baked goods, are pretty simple. So when it comes to our recipe, once we taught, you know, our chefs the recipe, it's pretty easy. You know, we vary the mix-ins and things like that, but it's not a super, super difficult baking recipe. And we've kind of stuck with doing that. We have our brownies as well, but when it comes to large orders and things, you know, we really stick with what we know. So I think that helps in that there's not a lot of room for error when it comes to really scaling up and keeping the quality of our product. But absolutely, that is a tough part and something that, as a new business, we really learned very quickly. We went from 0 to 60 very fast. So there's a lot of trial and error, and there's a lot of pieces that come along with that in, properly growing and scaling a business.
I mean, as I recall the timeline from our first conversation, you literally did not start this business until after the lockdown, or am I wrong about that?
So we started it in theory. We didn't really know we were starting it. We were just kind of, you know, sending each other baked good photos,
yeah,
you know, every weekend. Because, again, it really did start as a therapy thing for us. And, you know, then once Ashley started posting them on her Instagram when, you know, some of the stuff started shutting down, she just started kind of randomly selling them to people. So it really was not started to be a business. It was started as a hobby. But we very, very quickly realized that we could monetize that hobby. And then we really were in a lucky position that we were able to actually pay our bills during the pandemic because of that hobby.
It's amazing. Do you either of you have any regrets about this, though?
I would say no, I don't. I would say Faye's probably going to say the same. I think it brought us a lot of learning experiences, especially as entrepreneurs. You know, both of us have other businesses, but this business was unique in that it was our first really social media driven business. It was our first very high volume, you know, national scale business. So it was a real good crash course for us in you know, entrepreneurship and expanding what we knew in that area. So I think it gave us not only a great, business and income source the last year, but also it gave us just a wealth of knowledge, I think, going forward in our entrepreneurial careers.
Faye.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it opened so many doors for Ashley and I as well. It made a lot of really strong, we have a lot of really strong connections, and we're, you know, starting to utilize those. I think that's one of the reasons it's going in the corporate direction that it is. You know, both Ashley and I, in our past careers, you know, we've been able to utilize contacts and get in front of people with these cookies that we wouldn't have been able to prior. So I think, yeah, there's really no regrets. It's just more, how do we apply the knowledge that we've gained in the last year going forward on not only this business, but on all the other businesses that we're, you know, involved in currently.
I mean, clearly both of you are very savvy, but you mentioned you've learned a lot. Usually when us mere mortals, we learn things, we have made mistakes. What mistakes, Ashley, have you made in the last year that you have corrected?
So I think mistakes wise, I use that term lightly because I do think every mistake that we made, really, as cliche as it sounds, it was an important one for us. I think our growth was very fast at first, which was a little hard for us to rein in. I think just because of our story, we got a lot of publicity and on a national level very early. So we had to scale up very fast. So I think maybe the scaling of our business is something that I wish we maybe had done a little bit differently. But I would say that would be primarily the thing that, you know, that I think was a big hurdle for us. And also there was just a lot of COVID-related things that you know, made it hard procuring ingredients, things like that. So a lot of the mistakes and things we made were really just us kind of doing a business backwards. It wasn't a business we intended to get into. So we were, you know, we didn't have a business plan or anything in place. We were really like flying by the seat of our pants, and that's an understatement.
Faye.
Yeah, actually, Ashley just touched on what I was going to say at the end of hers. I am very much like someone who is a habitual planner, probably to my detriment. And the fast, intense growth of Cookie Therapy did not allow us to plan out any business aspect. There was no marketing involved. There was no, like, what are we going to do next? What are we going to do if this happens? Mm-hmm. So I think looking back, I wish we would have been able to take some time to create, like, you know, some sort of a business plan. But yeah, I mean, again, like, I think the mistakes that we made all really kind of had to do with that quick growth and, you know, how we had to scale so quickly. And just like Ashley said, I think each of those mistakes, though, has kind of gotten us to a good place. So all the mistakes were necessary.
Now, we only have a minute here or so in the program, but it strikes me that you may be a textbook case for a new paradigm in the way you start a business. A, you did it at a really ridiculously tough time in a pandemic, but B, this was Instagram driven and this was social media driven, and that must have kept your overhead down quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, this business does, I think, have a lot of overhead. I think most, you know, food businesses do. But as far as marketing wise, like, this is like a new age guerrilla marketing, you know, using social media. So absolutely, I think this was a great case study. And this is why Faye and I love, you know, talking about entrepreneurship so much, because I think this business is a great example of harnessing the power of social media to grow a business. And this business really does, you know, live and die on social media. But also, you know, what we tell young entrepreneurs a lot is, you know, being willing to take chances and seeing where, you know, an opportunity arises. So I think this business is another great example of that as well.
Well, listen, we're out of time here, but I want to thank Ashley Brown and Faye Jones of Cookie Therapy ALB for being here. And you do fantastic work. I hope that you keep the consumers in mind at times as you move into more corporate endeavors. All right, Faye, you can go have that baby now. We'll talk to you after you get some rest, okay?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. Support comes from Big Elm Brewing in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Spring hours, Thursday through Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. Tap room now open and curbside pickup available. Reservations recommended. More information at BigElmBeer.com. Pioneer Valley Food Tours, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering guided tours at more, highlighting local food producers and their seasonal specialties. PioneerValleyFoodTours.com. And Schenectady Green Market, open outdoors Sundays 10 to 2 around City Hall. Local food, beverages, and products, EBT accepted. SchenectadyGreenMarket.com for vendors and social distancing precautions. Once again, thanks to Faye Jones and Ashley Brown of Cookie Therapy ALB for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took the calls. Our producers, Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Have a splendid weekend. Be safe. I'll see you at 2 on Monday for a Medical Monday.